There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're going to head straight to London. We're joined by Ollie Barrett. Ollie, how are you?
Hi, guys. Very well, thank you.
Good. And I said a few minutes ago, we can't think of any international news story without mentioning Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, because it's affected everyone. So what's been the sort of UK perspective on it there?
Yeah, it's interesting. We've had a little statement from Boris Johnson, who, of course, is the UK Foreign Secretary, saying that Britain welcomes what he describes as a constructive summit. He says it's Boris Johnson says it's an important step towards the stability of a region, which he points out has a lot of British nationals in it and important UK interests in it as well. Boris Johnson going on to say the reaffirmation of North Korea's commitment to work towards the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula is a signal that Kim Jong-un may have finally heeded the message that only a change of course can bring a secure and prosperous future to the people of North Korea. And he finishes this brief statement by saying there is still much work to be done, and we hope Kim continues to negotiate in good faith. I think what that statement does is show that Britain is committed to supporting U.S. efforts to try and get the Korean Peninsula denuclearized and to see Kim Jong-un back away from any kind of belligerence in future, but also that sense of skepticism here about whether Kim Jong-un is to be trusted. We have, of course, seen the North Koreans promise to denuclearize before and not follow through. There's, I think, a certain amount of skepticism privately here in diplomatic and political circles in the UK as well about whether North Korea has actually given much away in this arrangement with the United States. Now, clearly, in a year's time, if the North Koreans are going down the path that they say they want to follow, then clearly Donald Trump will be hailed as a diplomatic hero and a man who has brought peace to the world. But there is certainly some skepticism here in the UK. It's also worth putting this in the context of the fact that Donald Trump arrived in Singapore off the back of a G7 meeting in Canada, Britain, of course, a G7 member, at which Donald Trump fell out with the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, fell out with the French President Emmanuel Macron, certainly had some strained conversations with the German Chancellor Angela Merkel, some difficult conversations with the European Union, some potentially strained ties with Britain as well, saying at the G7 he thought Russia should be allowed back into it, heads off to Singapore and is all smiles and backslapping with a dictator. Let's be honest about what Kim Jong-un is. And so there are certainly some raised eyebrows here in the UK and in the G7 about the fact that, you know, over the last couple of days, Donald Trump has appeared more friendly with a brutal North Korean regime than he has done with some of what are supposed to be his close allies.
And Ollie, moving away from that right now, there's been some key votes on Brexit legislation going on.
That's right. We have 2 days of votes here in the UK. And what this is the key European Union withdrawal bill, the legislation that the government of Theresa May is trying to get through Parliament, which, among other things, converts EU law, as it is at the moment, into British law so that the British governments of the present and the future can then pick off the bits they like, get rid of the bits they don't like, but without leading to a sort of chaotic legal cliff edge when Britain does actually exit the European Union. But what has happened is that a number of MPs and members of the House of Lords, as this legislation has been making its way through Parliament, have tried to add in all sorts of amendments here and there to try and water down what they see as a hard Brexit being pursued by Theresa May's government. Well, Theresa May and her Brexit Secretary David Davis says that they shouldn't allow the House of Lords and some MPs to undermine Britain's exit from the European Union. That is what they believe is happening here, that some parliamentarians are trying to essentially put off, if not strangle, the idea completely of Britain leaving the EU by just making this legislative process more difficult than it otherwise was going to be. So we do have a number of votes over the next couple of days, and there are two or three of them that, if they go against the government, will make Theresa May's life very difficult indeed. From her perspective, she wants to not only get past this legislative hurdle so that she can get back to Brussels and continue Brexit negotiations with a slightly stronger hand, she also wants to make sure she avoids some kind of leadership challenge, some kind of existential problem for her prime ministership here in Britain. She's, of course, in a very fragile place in terms of the majority that she's had to cobble together in government, with in Parliament, with the support of the DUP of Northern Ireland. And you know, were she to lose any of these significant votes over the next couple of days, her life would again start to get very difficult indeed, and there would be again lots more speculation about whether she might be soon to be removed by her own party as their leader and therefore the Prime Minister.
And Ollie, we're going to stay with politics, but a story of a very different nature. A man's admitting plotting to murder an MP in the UK. Of course, we know someone did do that with Joe Cox several years ago.
Exactly right. And this has come out in a trial that is still ongoing. This man, Jack Renshaw, is one of six men who are on trial and deny being members of a banned far-right organisation. But as part of this trial, Jack Renshaw, who's 23 years old and from Lancashire, has pleaded guilty to preparing an act of terrorism, admitting that he had bought a machete with the intention of going ahead and killing Rosie Cooper, who is the Labour Minister of Member of Parliament for West Lancashire. The Old Bailey's been hearing that he was a member of a group which supported the murder that you mentioned of Joe Cox, the MP, back in 2016. Jack Renshaw has also admitted that he made a threat to kill a police officer as well, who was Victoria Henderson. So, as I say, the trial continues with regards to the men who deny being a member of a prescribed far-right organisation, but Jack Renshaw has admitted that he had planned to kill an MP. So that has also sent shockwaves and no small amount of fear, I think it's fair to say, again through Parliament today.
And finally, Ollie, as we count down to the World Cup, the 2026 hosts have been revealed.
They will be revealed tomorrow, exactly. Yeah, and it's, you know, really part of the build-up to the tournament. We have the FIFA Congress tomorrow, and the sort of the centrepiece of that at the end of the event, it's likely to be, will be the vote for who's going to host the event in 2026. And we have a united bid, the Americans together with the Canadians and the Mexicans up against a bid from Morocco. And it is certainly considered at this stage, but you should not go ahead and put your houses on this at this point, because these things can be unpredictable, as we've seen before. The favourites are certainly thought to be that united North American bid. Donald Trump himself has been lobbying quite hard for it. The Moroccans think they've got a very good bid, but there are whispers that this was essentially that the Americans said last time around that World Cups were awarded, that they would go along with that if they were supported by some of the other FIFA members when it comes to this bid. And as I say, with Donald Trump's support, with the bid from the United North American conglomerate having got good marks from FIFA in terms of what it offers, is certainly considered to be the favourite. And so the awarding of that will then further intensify the build-up to Thursday and the actual start of the World Cup, even if that first game of Russia versus Saudi Arabia promises to be an opening game between two of the worst teams the World Cup has ever seen.
Now, Ollie, I know you are a football fan, so you're excited. Two more sleeps until you can spend your summer watching match after match.
It's exactly that. It's and I've got two young sons who are old enough now to spend it with me. So we're going to sort of wave goodbye to my wife, and we'll see her again in 6 weeks.
Well, Ollie, I know you're a football fan. I'm going to encourage you to get on our website, DubaiEye1038.com, because we have Farah the Falcon. So we have a real-life Falcon predicting the winner of each match. So obviously she's done Russia-Saudi Arabia. We've released that one. But have a look at it, because Farah picks, you know, she flies to the different flags. So she picks which team she thinks is going to win. So yeah, following the footsteps of Paul the Octopus, if you remember from back then.
Yes,
so yes, you and your sons get involved in that.
I will. And you know, I was being slightly facetious. My wife will watch some of the games with us too, I promise.
Okay, Ollie, enjoy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Ollie Barrett in London there. I mean, you know, we've got to promote Farah the Falcon after all those bird puns.
We've got to
take her international, Emma.
We are. We'll keep clawing away at it.
I know. Oh, my word. We really need to stop these. They're horrendous. Coming up in a few minutes' time, we'll have trending. More on Kim Jong-un, Dennis Rodman and Shaquille O'Neal's babysitting investments. And then Emma will guide you through the music scoop after that.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.